for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2019 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 6th, 2019. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on the effects of lack of discipline.
All of y'all are a blessing. I just want to thank the prayer team, too. We have been in total unity till I said something the other morning, and I could just feel them going, they thought I was talking about killing kids. I said, you know, after going through 20 years with a homosexual son and praying for him for 20 years, in the midst of all those days, I said, Lord, if there's any other, don't let any other baby conceived in my bloodline that's a heathen. Just flush them down the toilet before they ever conceive. And they thought I said, flush the kids down the toilet, and I could feel them go, oh! Anyway, that's the only time we've been disunified. But anyway, they understood when I explained it, because we want a pure bloodline, right? And we just thank God for even the kids that cause us trouble. God uses this. Sometimes we just need to have a prayer life, right? Yes. I know I would have never had a prayer life had I not had a son that lived a homosexual lifestyle. Anyway, this message is on the effects of lack of discipline. And it's for people who grew up without discipline. Amen. I mean, it's really for all of us. And it's for parents who have little children. A lot of you don't have little children now, but you have grandkids. You have tremendous authority as a grandparent. And I'll share, I had a guy living at my farm, and he had a tattoo everywhere you could put one, and an earring wherever you could put one. And he had a grandmother that was a real witch, and he had a grandmother that was a wonderful Christian. And he lived with his grandmother that was a Christian, and he'd come home after drugging and drinking alcohol, and she'd be sitting in her rocking chair praying for him. Well, he went to New Orleans, and this is a true story, to get his fortune told. And the fortune teller said, I can't tell your fortune because you've got a praying grandmother. So to encourage those of you who are grandparents, you're the parent of the parent. You have a lot of authority. But anyway, praise God, my son's in heaven. But this message is for parents that have little children. It's for grandparents that, you know, maybe have a raising your children. And it's also to bring those of you who grew up without discipline to get free from the effects of the lack of discipline. And discipline includes love, protection, care, provision, instruction, guidance, correction, training, discipline. And, of course, discipline is to correct mistakes. And so God's discipline is to correct the mistakes in our life that we have, or the mistakes the parents made, because He's a loving Heavenly Father. And He disciplines every son whom He loves. And the scripture says in Proverbs, it says, whoever loves discipline loves his own soul. Your soul is your personality. Your personality is your spiritual garden that you saw in the where all the breaches were, where your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, that's your personality. And so God wants to, there's some things in our personality that He needs to correct. And we should love it, because it's only through discipline that we're happy, that we're well adjusted, that we overcome, that we get freedom. Because every time we let God discipline us and we take whatever He shows us or He's trying to teach us to the throne of grace, we get changed from glory to glory. And so receiving God's discipline is a way we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. in the spiritual garden of our heart. And so God says if we love discipline, we really love our own soul, because that's what's best for us. Discipline means to train by instruction and control. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof." Job 5:17 says, "Behold, how happy is the man," and of course woman, "whom God reproves. So do not despise, reject the discipline of the Almighty." And so it's been my experience that the happiest people are the people that grew up with love and discipline and care. And of course, there's a positive side of discipline, and that's just correction and training, instruction to gain knowledge. And the negative side of discipline is to incur God's wrath when we disobey Him. And of course, if we're parents, we discipline the children to teach them that wrong choices bring bad results. And so, but the happiest people and the happiest children are those that grew up being disciplined. Now, discipline is not child abuse. The Bible says not to discipline your children in anger. Don't provoke them to anger. I had once a little girl at a seminar, and I was praying for her, and I said, "Did your mother discipline you?" She said, "Oh, yeah, did she? She threw me up against the wall and slapped me up against the wall." I said, "Well, that wasn't discipline. That was child abuse." And many of you grew up with child abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse. But praise God, God wants to discipline us to change those areas, and He does that through repentance and through deliverance. The biblical concept of discipline has a positive side, which is instruction, knowledge, and training. The negative side is correction, punishment, and reproof or chastisement. It's blame expressed to the face, to censure, to find fault with, to condemn what is wrong, and to reprimand. You know, the Lord showed me years ago a good illustration of training up a child. My house was split level, and you could go up, when you entered the house, you were upstairs, and the bedrooms were downstairs. So the house was kind of built up, and the yard had a brick fence going down each side, and I had a flower bed, and so I decided to plant. I wanted a garden, and I didn't have space for it, so I decided to plant it in the flower bed. I planted one cucumber plant, and it went all over the driveway. And I tried to pick it up and hang it over the 8-foot wall, and I couldn't do it without breaking it. So the next year when I had cucumber plant, I had the little bitty plant, and so I took a little stick, and when the little runners were going, and I trained the cucumber vine to go over the fence. And so that's really a picture of training up a child. And of course, discipline doesn't necessarily be a spanking. It's correction, to correct mistakes, to instruct, to guide, to direct. And of course, if the child doesn't listen, then he's to be disciplined. And let me just tell you, don't swat at them. It just makes them mad. My mother never spanked me in my whole life, but she hit me once with a clothes hanger and made me madder than a hornet. You want to get rid of a kid's anger, give them a reason to be angry. You know what I'm saying? Or if they're throwing a fit, give them a reason to throw a fit. Spank them. And the Bible tells us to do that. And those who refuse to submit to God's positive discipline get God's wrath and his judgment and punishment. Chastisement is an infliction of punishment as by whipping or beating. The Bible's term for chastisement usually refers to God's discipline or God's punishment. It's for the purpose of education, instruction, and training. Job 4:3 says, "Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands." It's for the purpose of corrective guidance. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." So the purpose of discipline is to cause us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. discipline in the sense of corrective physical punishment. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 says, "Do not take lightly the discipline of the Lord, or faint when you're reproved by him, for whoever the Lord loves, he disciplines." Lord, I just come before your throne, and I just thank you. I ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your holy angels that are ministering in this place. Lord, we thank you for your word, that your angels watch over your word to perform it. We thank you that signs and wonders accompany the teaching of your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is spirit and life, and you watch over your word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you, and we just take authority over Satan and every evil spirit. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. In Jesus' name, and Lord, I ask you to make my words like goats, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the shepherd. And Lord, I pray for rivers of living water to reach out. I pray your spirit will reach out and touch every person in this room in the name of Jesus. Revelation 3:19 says, "Whom I love, God says, I discipline." God disciplines us when we disobey his word. In just one scripture, there's many, many. But Proverbs 17:11 says, "A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him." And you know who that cruel messenger is. And so if I'm under God's umbrella, Psalms 91, I'm submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, prayed up, confessed up. Does that mean I'm perfect? But no, it means that I'm as confessed up and prayed up as I know how to be, and as repented up as I know how to be. I step outside of God's realm of his umbrella protection, and I'm out there, and a cruel messenger comes against me. And so we know who the cruel messenger is, Satan. Proverbs 16:22 says, "Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly." If I overeat, my folly disciplines me. If I go charge up all my credit card, my folly disciplines me. If I look at pornography, my folly disciplines me. And I can tell you, if you're into pornography, you better get delivered from it, because it'll take you down to the pits of hell. And you will not go to heaven, believe me. Because when Jesus said, if you look at somebody with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. The scripture says, "No adulterer, no liar, no fool, no adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, liar, thief will enter the kingdom of heaven." If you're a person, you know, the last meeting that we had here, there was a wife that was going to leave her husband, and because she said he lied to her all the time. He was lying to her. All the years he'd been lying to her. He'd gotten into some pornography and had gotten into some homosexual stuff. But anyway, he was lying. And so I said, "You tell him if he's lying to her that he is going to hell, because the Bible says liars go to hell." Well, that offended him, and he came right up here and got some deliverance, I think. I hope so. But, you know, you have to be willing to stand. And if you let people control you and you have fear of man, which this man has, brings a snare. Anyway, and his wife got a bee in her bonnet when I was correcting the Jezebel thing in her. And if you're this kind of person, stop it. If you're a kind of person that is a blabbermouth, that blabs and blabs and blabs, you hijack people with words, and it's really verbal abuse. Nobody likes to be hemmed up in a corner and have you have a barrage of words come against them. And so if you're that person, repent. You know what it is? It shows a lack of care for someone else. It's like everything's all about me. Anyway, I lovingly corrected, or maybe it wasn't too loving, but anyway, I apologize for the way I said it, maybe, but not for what I said. And so because of that, they've gone a different direction. And Lord, I pray for that person right now, that you get her straightened out. Lord, I pray for that couple. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll restore that marriage. I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to give them the mind of Christ, and we bind their feet to your path, Lord. And we just break the power, Satan, we break your power over him in the name of Jesus. And so understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. My son lived a homosexual lifestyle, and his folly, which was sexual sin, disciplined him, and he died of AIDS in 1989. And so whatever is your folly, let me just say this. If your folly is addicted to TV and movies, guess what? You're getting loaded down with demons in your breach after breach after breach after breach. Because the Word of God is seeds and words are seed. And so you're planting the wrong kind of seed down in your heart. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die." So you see, it's opened up to a spirit of death if you hate correction. If you're a person that can't take correction, you should love correction. In fact, sometimes as a spiritual mother or a spiritual dad or a spiritual father, and you correct people because you really love them and you want the best for them. You want to see them be everything God wants them to be. It's not because you're trying to be mean when you correct, but it's because you love that person. And God instructs parents to discipline their children. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And there's another place that says, "Fathers," this is where it says, "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So if you don't bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, you're provoking them to anger, and they have anger working in them because they were not brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, that doesn't manifest all at one time, but it may be 30 years before it manifests. It'll manifest whatever area the parent violates the law of God in training the child up. And I'm going to say this, too, bringing demonic toys in your house, you're loading your kids down with demons. You can walk through a toy store, and Randy knows more about these toys and these games than I do. But so you can, if you have any questions, ask Randy. But you can go through a toy department at Walmart at Christmas, and you can feel the demons when you go through it. We bring all that stuff in our house, and Deuteronomy says, don't bring a cursed thing in your house, lest you become under the curse. You want your house cursed? You want your home cursed? I want to live in the presence of the Lord. And I'm not there yet, but I'm telling you, I'm working toward it. I want to live, breathe, and abide in the presence of the Lord. I'm asking God to teach me how to wait on Him. It is so hard to be quiet before the Lord because a million thoughts when you're trying to focus on the Lord. You start thinking of what you need to do. You think of this. You think of that. It's really like a war to focus on God and to be quiet and be still when He says, "Be still and know that I'm God." It's a war. But I'm going to learn how to do that to where I can focus on the Lord and not have my mind go other places.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? It's something that I desire with all my heart. And that's the secret place. That's the place of protection. That's, you know, Job 28 says that that's a place that no devil or no demon knows where it's at. It says that no fowl of the air knows the path of wisdom when you're walking the path of wisdom. It says when you're walking the highway of, which is the highway of holiness, no lying, no fool, no unclean can walk there. Ephesians 6:4. So don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Another place it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Well, train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And see, the places where we've been trained up in a wrong way, that's why God comes in and wants to bring correction to our life and change that demonic default to a good default. Because how you're trained up sets a default. It's like a default on a computer. You try to, you can type a letter and use any font, but then when you go into another letter, it kicks it back to the way the factory set the computer. And the way you were set was the way you were trained up at the factory is how you were trained up by your parents. And so you keep trying to break out of those patterns and you keep getting kicked back into the default of how you were trained up. So God, through repentance and through deliverance and through forgiving your parent, God resets that default to something good instead of that evil default. Praise God. And those of you who have little children, I wish I would have known a whole bunch of things that I know now when I look back hindsight. I do some things different. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Now, I don't think the rod is a wooden spoon, but it could be. It might be a switch off of a tree. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is, don't just swat at them because you just make them mad. So if you have to discipline, make sure you get the job done. Make sure they won't want to do it again, okay? My daddy spanked me 4 times, but I'm telling you, I remember all 4. And I knew when he meant business. But you know, I didn't grow up being rebellious because I had, you know, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. My parents loved me, and they were not perfect people, but I'm telling you, they never lied to me. They wanted what's best for me. And Lorna will tell you, I never saw my mother and daddy argue except 1 time. And it was after I went to bed, and I heard them arguing, and it was, you know, we were supposed to be asleep. This is what kind of a bratty child I was. I heard him arguing, so I go stand at the bedroom door, and I said, y'all need to be quiet right now. And they went, they were quiet, because my parents were the kind of people, if you showed them where they were wrong, they'd stop it. You know what I'm saying? And so there was nothing to rebel against because I was loved. And so perfect love, the Bible says, casts out fear. Love covers a multitude of sin, even though my parents weren't perfect. And I'm telling you that to tell you to train your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And God will show you how to do it. If you're in a home and it's fatherless, teach your child that God's the father. There was a those boys that used to work with the kids, what was their names? The Pennington boys. Their mother, they grew up without their daddy, and their mother taught them that God was their father. And so those are really godly young men. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son while there's hope, and don't desire his death. And it's speaking of daughters too. Proverbs 23:13 says, don't hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with a rod, he'll not die. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23, verse 12 says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod to deliver his soul from Sheol. God instructs the church to discipline. In Acts 5, Paul turned a church member that was committing sexual sin, turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. He instructs civil and national authorities to discipline when we break the laws of the land. And what's so sad right now, we have politicians that want to disobey the law themselves, but they want to pardon people that are rebels, and they have no regard for the law. Discipline should be a way of life, and we talk about repentance here. Repentance and walking God's way and walking in the Word of God, that is the discipline. It's correction. It's to correct the soul, correct mistakes. Proverbs 6:20 through 23 says, reproofs, which means rebukes joined with correction of discipline, are a way of life. And this is why we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. It says in 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline your son, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And, you know, I believe discipline means spending time with the Lord, intimacy with the Lord, reading the Word of God. You know, we can think of a million things to do. Discipline yourself by getting, you know, exercise is benefit, but it's not like disciplining yourself with spiritual things. Receiving discipline proves that we belong to God. Hebrews 12:5 says, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. It's for discipline that you endure, that God deals with you as sons. So it proves that you're a son. Discipline chases evil from the heart. Proverbs 20, verse 30. And this is the old, not the New Living Bible, but the Old Living Bible translation says, punishment that hurts chases evil from the heart. So when you discipline children, make sure it hurts. Okay? Not child abuse. And you should never discipline in anger. Discipline causes us to keep his word. Psalms 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. When my son was dying of AIDS, I had scriptures taped all over the wall. And there was one that said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. And there was a man that came to visit him. And this man years ago was accused of killing his wife. And I can't think of his name, but he was a millionaire in the Dallas-Fort Worth Grapevine area. And he visited Todd every week. And he asked him what his favorite scripture was. And he pointed to this one. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his law. Discipline yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Discipline qualifies you in the race of life. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I buffet my body and make it my slave. So we have to discipline ourselves with food too, and I haven't been too good in that area, but I'm working on that myself. Paul said, I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Discipline prevents us from being condemned along with the world. 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. Discipline grants you a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck. Proverbs 1:8 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it's a graceful wreath around your head and ornaments about your neck. You can't see that with the physical eyes, but in the spirit realm, you can see it. And those of you who know my son Kyle, I can say I see a graceful wreath around his head and ornaments about his neck because he was always an obedient son. When he was in high school, we'd say, be home at 12 o'clock, and at 11:55, we'd hear him coming around the gate. Always obedient. I had one that had a halo around his head, and I had one that had a pitchfork. And praise God for both of them, that my youngest son's in heaven. Proverbs 1:9 says, indeed, they are a graceful wreath around your head and ornaments about your neck. And then discipline causes us to be a happy person. Job 5:17 says, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves or corrects, which means corrects by chastening and punishment, for the purpose of purifying. So do not despise or reject the discipline of the Almighty or his correction. He inflicts pain and he gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. And that's what he wants to do when he corrects us. And that's why we can love discipline, is because he wants us healed and delivered and happy. So discipline causes us to acquire understanding. Proverbs 4:1 says, hear, my son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. And understanding, the Bible says, is it says the people without understanding are ruined. Also, understanding is to depart from evil. The scripture says in Hosea chapter 4, the people without understanding are ruined. Understanding is the truth that sets me free. So let me read this again. Oh, hear, O son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. The truth that sets me free. When I get understanding, I have the truth and it sets me free. I've seen people be free just from hearing the truth. Because every place we're bound, we believe a lie sometime. You're blessed when you receive discipline. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost." And I believe that's waiting on the Lord. The scripture says, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings of eagles." That means they'll have a different high perspective of what's down there, because eagles can look down and see food. They have a greater perspective, a greater height, a greater strength, and they'll not just walk, they'll run, they'll not be weary. So if you're a person that's just beat down and tired, you maybe need to wait on the Lord. And here are some of the negative effects of lack of discipline. I've already named some, but these are the effects of a lack of discipline. And those of you who grew up without discipline, and for the children that you have, if you want your children to experience these negative effects, then just don't discipline them. But you don't want that, or you wouldn't be here for freedom. Proverbs 17:25 says that a child that's not disciplined is a grief to his father and bitterness to his mother. And I had to forgive my son Todd for being a grief to me and a bitterness to me, because I don't want any bitterness in my life. Proverbs 29:15 says he's ashamed to his mother. And then there's mental problems, ADHD, bipolar, schizophrenia. All sorts of mental problems come in from the lack of discipline. I used to have a farm that I housed people in their recovery process, and I don't know of any of them that recovered, because I think it was from my education, honestly, because I realize now, I look back, and I was trying to get a bunch of lost people that told me they were saved, a bunch of lost people delivered. I would have parents call me with maybe a 40-year-old son that still lived with them, that they were wanting a place to dump him. And I'd say, "Did you discipline your son?" "Oh, no. No, I'm sorry to say I didn't." And so a person that's not been disciplined, and I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about correction, love, reproof, protection, instruction, direction. A child that's not disciplined hates themselves. When you feel good about yourself, your body produces the proper amounts of serotonin, endorphins, dopamine, and all the things that make you feel good about yourself. If you don't feel good about yourself, then you're low on all of those things. And then you end up in a psychiatric place taking psychiatric medication, and you're like a zombie. And two of the side effects of psychiatric medicine is suicide and homicide. And so mental problems, Isaiah 1 says, "Where will you continue in your rebellion? Your whole head is sick from the sole of your feet to the top of your head." And that word sick is not talking about physical sickness. It's talking about, it's really a picture of a person who's been flogged in the head. And then in Deuteronomy 28, it's a curse of madness. So mental illness is a curse because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. And no fear of God. A person that grows up without discipline has no fear of God. The lie is, if your parents don't correct you, the lie is God's not going to correct me either. I'm going to do whatever I want to. I see people that are maybe dealing with alcohol and drugs, and their mother and daddy took drugs and alcohol and nicotine. And because their mothers and fathers did it, the lie is God's just like mother and daddy. So this is one reason why they can't get free. They think God approves because mother and daddy approved of it. And that's a lie. They're taught to live after the flesh. You know, discipline in a child teaches him not to live after the flesh. I remember years ago, I fixed lunch for Kylie, Holly, and David, my three grandkids. And when we were through, I said, the girls were helping me pick things up. And I said, "David, there's some crumbs there on the floor. And get the vacuum cleaner and vacuum the crumbs." Well, he kind of threw a fit. I said, "Well, here, you throw a fit for me, you're in trouble." Anyway, I said, "Okay," and sit right there. I said, "Just vacuum the whole house now." And he was going to cry, and I said, you know what, I love you too much to not teach you to die to your flesh. I said, I wish that somebody had taught me it. It didn't take 60 years for me to learn to die to my flesh. And so when a parent does not correct a child and they let them do whatever they want to, then they live after the flesh. And I told somebody the other day, they had a little bitty one they couldn't control. I said, if you can't control this kid when you're 2 years old, what do you think you're going to do when he's a teenager? So they're taught to live after the flesh. Another thing, they have self-hatred, self-punishment. I know people that because they were not disciplined, they punish themselves because they feel guilty. Those of you who've got young children, or even if you're a grandparent and your kids have kids, it's called Under Loving Command. It's a little track. You can probably go online and find it. How many is familiar with that track? It's really good. It says, in other words, they feel guilty. I had a lot of guilt on me because I was not spanked. I asked my mother when I was 60 years old, Mother, why didn't you spank me? She said, I could have killed you and it would have done me good. Anyway, it would have. You know, because, see, God has to spank you if your mother and daddy didn't do it. Self-neglect. A lot of times these people are just live like slobs because there's no correction. Self-disdain. Have a low opinion of themselves. Which is one of the roots of an unloving spirit. Don't feel loved or worthy. Feel despicable. Proverbs 15:22 says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. You see where self-hatred comes in? But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding, which is the truth that sets him free. So that's why when you have a problem, you need to ask God, Lord, what are you trying to correct in me? What are you trying to fix? The problem points you to the next thing he wants to fix, because you got all these bridges and you don't even see them. You don't see them. So when God shows you, he's going to show you something else he wants to heal. He'll heal that breach and you'll change from glory to glory in all these areas. A person who lacks discipline doesn't feel like God loves him. 1 John 4:15, I'm going to paraphrase. It says, whoever abides in me has come to know the love that I have for him. Abiding is just to be on the potter's wheel, yielded your life. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're yielded to him. And death works in a person who lacks discipline. Proverbs 19:18. And of course, if you grew up and you were abused, there's death working on you too, because you were cursed. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son while there's hope, and do not desire his death. Also, spiritual bastard. If a child's not disciplined, you can be a physical bastard because your parents conceived you out of wedlock. But if they didn't give you God's proper discipline, you're a spiritual bastard or illegitimate. You say it either way. And the scripture says in Hebrews 12, if you're without discipline, you're a bastard, spiritual bastard in God's eyes, because God says he disciplines every son whom he loves. And the definition of illegitimacy is unlawfully begotten, or bastard, is unlawfully begotten, born out of wedlock, and then our state of being not genuine, unlawful, contrary to law. And then a person that has not had discipline lacks wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your life. And then fear, shame. You know, Adam and Eve, there was no fear in the garden until they sinned. So you see, sin is really idolatry, and all sin is idolatry. And so what they do, they went and hid themselves, and then they covered themselves with a fig leaf, which it could be an addiction. A fig leaf is whatever we try to prop ourselves up with. The scripture says, fear has torment. Perfect love casts out fear. 2 Timothy says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. New American Standard says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and discipline, which in the Greek means self-control. And then a person without discipline lacks knowledge. which keeps us from perishing. Hosea says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. Proverbs 19:27 says, cease listening to discipline, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. And then a person without discipline can live in poverty and shame. It can be a spiritual poverty or a physical poverty. As Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. A person that lacks discipline is a scoffer. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to a rebuke. Proverbs 9:7-8 says, a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. A person that lacks discipline, he lacks prudence. The scripture says a prudent man sees the danger and he hides himself. In other words, a prudent person, he sees the error up there and he goes a different direction. But a fool, the scripture says, a fool goes on and suffers for it. So he lacks prudence, which is wisdom applied to practice. Prudence is cautious, practically wise, careful of consequences, circumspect, foreseeing by instinct. Also, a person that lacks discipline is a fool. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. The scripture also says in Proverbs that you can crush a fool in a pestle along with crushed grain, and his folly will not depart from him. And then a person without discipline, his folly disciplines him. Proverbs 16 says, the discipline of fools is folly. And if you're a parent, you know, if your kids are grown and you're still trying to, they're in folly and God's discipline with their folly, and you're running out paying their light bill and you're paying their, you're supporting their drug habit and all, you're doing all this stuff, God's going to spank you because you're getting in his way of discipline. A person that has not had discipline is angry at himself and parents, and that goes back to being provoked to anger because he's not trained up in the way he should go. Also, a person who lacks discipline curses his mother and father. The scripture says his lamp will go out in darkness. That's the circumstances of life. It means when I go through circumstances, I really don't see the way. My lamp goes out when I'm having problems because I don't see my way. Proverbs 20:20 says, he who curses his father and mother, his lamp will go out in darkness. That means when you're in a circumstance, you can't find your way. Proverbs 30 says, he who mocks his father and scorns his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck out his eyes. That's one route to eye problems. Ravens of the valley are demons. And so how do we get free? Number one, you make sure you're born again. And I'm not talking about a head knowledge of God. I'm talking about a born-again experience. And if somebody can talk you out of your salvation, you probably need to get it. You don't have it. If you've accepted the Lord and you've never been willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow the Lord, then you're not saved. And so, as we said earlier, Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost. Linda Ravenhill says 95% of church members are lost because most church members deal with the outward appearance and don't deal with the heart stuff. Praise God, you're here to deal with your stuff. Thank God. And I say this all the time, I'll say it again. If you come to all the camps because of all the deliverance you get, you won't even know yourself next year. You'll get so much freedom because every time you leave here, you're going to be freer and freer. You know, I really attribute coming to Lake Hamilton since 1997 and getting freedom. I don't even know where I got all the freedom, but every time I go home, I'm different. I attribute that to good health. And other than needing my eyes healed, I praise God I don't have one pain in my body. And that's a miracle. And I give God, I'm not glorifying myself, because I'm telling you, when you start going by yourself, he who boasts is looking for trouble, the Bible says. I'm not looking for trouble, but I'm trying to give a testimony of what God wants to do in our life if we continue living a lifestyle of repentance. And I thank God that he's taught me to do that. And I'm still getting free. And I'm going to be freer tomorrow. And the next day I'm going to be freer. And the next day I'm going to be freer. And I'm going to go out of here in a blaze of glory. Right? Amen?
Amen.
We're going to change from glory to glory. I still have a, you know, I'm repented of everything I know, confessed up, prayed up, but I still have tons of bridges I don't even see. So when I have a problem, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? What's the next thing you want to fix? And it's encouraging that we don't have to be the same way we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of churches teach, well, a little anger, everybody's got a little anger. Let me tell you something. God says if you practice anger, you won't go to heaven. It's idolatry. Your hot wire is connected to an idol. And the only way you can dismantle it is take it up the mountain and let it go. So make sure you've been born again. And when you're born again, you know that you know that you know. There's a time when I was born again, I accepted the Lord, was baptized. Three times, I think, but I wasn't born again until my son was 3 years old. In 1963, I was born again. And I'm a work in progress, but everything about me changed. I wasn't even a church member. I just started reading the Word. The Bible says you're born again by the Word of God. And you're never gonna walk in victory if you don't get in the Word of God. And if you don't understand it, ask God and He'll help you understand it. And don't start with Genesis. Start with the New Testament and read that. Then go back and read the Old Testament, the Psalms and Proverbs. And as Randy shared last night, this morning, I was so glad that he led you through those scriptures in Proverbs. He was showing you how to do a word study. And if you'll get in the Word and repent, whatever I read, I'm repenting over. And I'm getting delivered the whole time I do that. That's what it means to be washed with water in the Word. The Scripture says He sent His Word to heal you. No place does it say He sent folks to heal you. Make sure you've been born again. Forgive your parents. And most of you said, I forgive my parents for everything. But to get healed and delivered, you've got to be specific. There'll be a specific memory God wants to show you or something that happened. Or you could just make a list of all the negatives of your parents. I had probably the best parents anybody could have, and they weren't perfect. But when God first showed me this, the first time He showed me this, I repented of 1,000 judgments I'd made on them. And I just want to say this about Lorna. Lorna would come spend the summer with me. This is not the discipline of the child. How many of you saw that wrestler thing, that Gorgeous George? Remember that wrestler that would fake it? Oh, he bound the pack. Nobody, you remember that?
Yes.
Anyway, my mother could care less if you combed your hair because she was running a grocery store. So we just run and play, and you know, her mother would come in to get her, and she'd say, Lorna, you hadn't combed your hair. Her mother was really picky about how she looked. And so her mother would get the hairbrush, and she'd go, ow, 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 and her mother would pinch her. And talk about Gorgeous George. That's the way she was. And when she'd go to church, her mother would pinch her in church. Now, that's child abuse, really. And she'd say, quit pinching me. My youngest son that's in heaven, in church, I would kind of pinch him to be quiet, and he'd say, quit pinching me! He would say it too. Anyway, I don't recommend you do that. My son Kyle, if his kid misbehaved, he quietly took them outside, and you never heard the commotion, but they came back in, and they behaved themselves. I remember there was a guy that came to a seminar and brought his little boy, and he was bipolar, and the little boy was bipolar, and the little boy punched the pianist with a fountain pen, hit somebody else, did something else. Kyle came up and he said, Mom, that kid just needs to be disciplined. I said, why don't you go instruct the daddy? And the dad, because the psychiatrist said you're going to destroy his little psychic or whatever. Anyway, that kid totally changed when the daddy started disciplining him. Kids cry out. You know what? They'll act up just to get attention, even if it's negative attention. So forgive your parents for everything God shows you. You can just make a list, and then God's going to keep on showing you, because even if you had a happy childhood, which I did, there's still things that you need to repent of. Now I'm repenting of how my attitudes toward my parents. And then ask God to forgive you and forgive your rebellion. Align yourself with the Word of God. Do Word studies. Seek the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Meditate on the Word. Have an intimate relationship with God. And begin the process of receiving God's discipline by aligning yourself with the Word of God. And don't look at everything that's wrong with you. Some of you, the song yesterday that Jane led us to sing, and it's one of my favorite songs. I'll never get over the life you've given me. I sensed that some of you are thinking, I don't like the life I was been given. But guess what? You're alive, and you're at a place to get fixed.
Yeah.
And don't get overwhelmed by all the things that are wrong. Because if you have a million things that are wrong and you're looking at the million things that are wrong, you can just want to give up and quit. But just deal with step one. Lord, what's step one out of this process of entanglement? What is step one? Deal with step one. Then do step two. And you won't get overwhelmed. God's not overwhelmed. He's going to complete the work in you. He promises. And if you want Him, I saw others of you crying out for the Lord. Lord, I want to be everything you want me to be. And He wants it more than you do. So don't even sweat it. Just stay on the potter's wheel. When you fall off, get back on. Ask God to forgive you and get back on. You're going to fall off. If you're not centered, you know, if the clay's not centered on the potter's wheel, it gets slung off. If you're getting slung off, just repent, get back on, and you'll fall off less and less. And that's the place of abiding. Whoever abides in me has come to know the love that I have for him, God says. And the scripture also says, whoever abides in me does not sin. The only time you're not sinning is when you're on the potter's wheel, doing what the potter wants you to do, right? So be encouraged. You're here to get free, and come back as often as you can come back and get some more. Amen? Okay, stand up, please. And know that God has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. I ask you to show me all the negatives of my parents. Things I need to forgive them for. See, wherever you judge your parents, you also believe a lie that God is just like them. And God's nothing like them. So search my heart, O God. I ask for the truth that sets me free. Show me every negative about my mother and father. Not because I'm blaming them or trying to transfer blame to them, but so that I can see what I need to forgive them for. In Jesus' name. And when you get through repenting, just sit down and we'll do deliverance. Lord, forgive me for being overwhelmed, thinking I'm a hopeless case. I thank you that I'm not. I forgive my parents for treating me like I was a hopeless case. I forgive parents for not loving me, not wanting me, rejecting me, not valuing me, not caring about how I felt or how I thought. I forgive them for verbal abuse. Mental abuse, sexual abuse. If some of these things don't apply to you, they could apply to your forefathers, okay? So just, it's okay to go ahead and confess it anyway. So, Father, I forgive my parents for not protecting me, not wanting the best for me, for lying to me. I forgive them for being unfaithful. I forgive them for abandoning me. I forgive them for not caring what happened to me. I forgive them for letting my brothers and sisters bully me. Forgive me for bullying my brothers and sisters. I forgive my parents for their alcohol addiction, their drug addiction, their nicotine addiction. I forgive them for not affirming me, not telling me they love me. I forgive them for not providing for me. I forgive them for being selfish and stingy and depressed and mentally ill. I forgive them for ritual abusing me if they did. And Lord, forgive me for not loving discipline. Forgive me for rejecting discipline. Forgive me for hating my own soul. Forgive me for loathing His reproof. Forgive me for not letting God reprove me and my parents reprove me. I forgive my parents that there was no true discipline because there's no love in it. They were just dysfunctional. And I just grew up in a dysfunctional family. But thank you, Lord, that I'm in a new family now, the body of Christ. I forgive my parents for not letting me feel good about myself. I break the curse of mental illness and insanity and bipolar and ADHD and hyperactivity. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of all mental problems in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for rebellion that opened the door to mental illness. I forgive my parents for letting me be a rebel and not teaching me that wrong choices brought bad consequences. Forgive me for rejecting positive discipline, which has opened me up to your negative chastisement. Forgive me for refusing to submit to your discipline, Lord. Would you drag my heart into the love of God, into the steadfastness of Christ? Forgive me for taking lightly the discipline of the Lord and rejecting your reproof. Forgive me for being rebellious, which would cause you to send a cruel messenger after me. Forgive me for not having understanding. Forgive me for folly that's caused that to be my discipline, whatever my folly is. Forgive me for forsaking your way, which would open me up to your stern discipline. I forgive my parents for not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for training me up in the way I should not go. Lord, forgive me for not training my children up in the way they should go. And if you've got little children right now and you haven't been disciplined, apologize to them. Say, please forgive mommy and daddy for not disciplining you. From now on, it's a new day. I forgive my mother and father for provoking me to anger, bringing me up in a way I should not go. I forgive them for not using the rod of discipline and correcting me in love. I renounce the spirit of death that came in through no discipline. I forgive them for holding back correct discipline from me, not driving foolishness from my heart. I forgive pastors. Let me tell you, if you have a pastor that's allowing sin, you need to get out of there, because the scripture says after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So you don't want what his stuff to get on you. There should be church discipline. When a church member is living in willful sin, there needs to be church discipline. I don't care if it's your kid or if it's your best friend. Forgive me, Lord, for not living a repentant lifestyle, and that discipline has not been a way of life for me. Forgive me for not disciplining myself for the purpose of godliness. Forgive me for regarding lightly the discipline of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you discipline me. Forgive me for not being willing to buffet my body and make it my slave. Forgive me that I've been a slave to my body. I forgive my parents for not teaching me to die to the flesh. I forgive them for teaching me to live after the flesh. I forgive them because they didn't discipline me, I had no fear of God. And Lord, I pray right now that you give me a fear of God that turns me away from evil. Thank you that your discipline keeps me from being condemned along with the world. Lord, forgive me for not listening to my father's instruction. And I forgive my father that he wasn't the kind of father you could listen to, because what came out of his mouth was just ignorant. But Lord, I want to listen to your instruction. And I forgive my father that he never gave me wise instruction. Forgive me for forsaking my mother's teaching. I forgive her for not teaching me anything good. Thank you that you don't want me to go the way they went. Lord, I want that graceful wreath around my head and ornaments about my neck because I've received your discipline. And you, in that scripture, you could say the Father is the Heavenly Father and the Mother is the church, because she gives birth to, should be giving birth to disciples, but there's not many churches that are doing that now. Lord, I've not been a happy person because I have not received your discipline. Lord, I want understanding. Forgive me for not listening so I could gain understanding. Forgive me for not watching daily at your gates and waiting at your doorpost. Forgive me for not waiting on you. Teach me how to do that, Lord. Teach me how to focus on you. Teach me, Lord, how to be still and know that you're God. Lord, you said, draw me and I'll run after you. Quicken me, Lord, to wait on you. Forgive me for being a grief to my father and bitterness to my mother. And I forgive my children for being a grief to me and bitterness to me and shame to me. And Lord, I forgive my parents for the lack of discipline that's opened me up to mental problems. Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for having no fear of God because my parents let me by with any old thing, and I thought since they approved of me doing what I want to do, that I could just do what I want to do. That's a lie. Forgive me for living after the flesh. Forgive me for self-hatred, self-punishment, self-neglect, self-disdain, living in shame. Forgive me for feeling unworthy when you, the King of Kings, lives in me. If you feel unworthy, let me tell you something. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And if you had a Bible that's worth $15 and you put $1 million bill in it, if there was such a thing, and you put $1 million bill in your old $15 Bible, what would the Bible be worth? At least $1 million, right? So you're worth who you contain, and you contain the King of Kings,
yes,
the Lord of Lords. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He wants to get out of you and act like himself. He wants to manifest himself in your life. Forgive me for having a low opinion of myself. Forgive me for feeling unworthy. Forgive me for neglecting discipline, despising myself, and not listening to reproof so I can acquire understanding. Forgive me for not abiding you so that I can come to know the love you have for me. I ask you to remove the spirit of death from me. Forgive me for being a spiritual bastard, illegitimate, because I've not received your discipline. You know, the disciples were the disciplined ones. Are you a disciple? Forgive me for lacking wisdom and understanding. I forgive my parents for not teaching me wisdom and understanding. Forgive me for not listening to counsel and accepting discipline that I might be wise the rest of my days. Forgive me for fear and guilt and shame. Forgive me for a spirit of fear. And notice it says love, power, and a sound mind. So you can see how mental problems come in through fear. Because whenever you fear, the scripture says that you're not, what's the word, in love, you're not
trusting.
Perfect love casts out fear. But whoever fears is not perfected in love. Fear has torment. Forgive me for lacking knowledge. Forgive me for stopping listening to discipline. And I've strayed from the words of knowledge. Lord, I ask you to put me back on the path of righteousness. Forgive me for rebellion that's caused poverty and shame in my life, for neglecting discipline. Forgive me for being a scoffer, not accepting my Father's, Heavenly Father's discipline. Forgive me for being a scoffer, getting dishonor for myself. Forgive me for being a fool. Forgive me for lacking prudence. Forgive me for rejecting my Father's discipline. Forgive me, Lord, for displaying folly. Forgive me for being angry at my parents because they provoked me to anger. And Lord, forgive me for cursing my mother and father, which has caused my lamp to go out. Forgive me for mocking my father and scorning my mother. And Lord, I want to be born again today if I'm not. I receive you as my King, my Lord, my boss, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. I want to align my life with the Word of God. Forgive me for not reading the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you to help me understand the Word of God when I read the Word of God. Motivate me to read. Cause me to see the urgency of this. You know, there may be a day in America where you can't have a Bible. You better have it in your heart so then you can sit and quote it to yourself. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for rebellion. I forgive my parents for rebellion. And Lord, this lack of discipline that's passed down the generations through dysfunction that's passed down, passed down, passed down. Thank you that you're correcting in my life right now. Thank you that my kids don't have to grow up in dysfunction. And I forgive myself if they have, in the name of Jesus. I align myself with the Word of God. And Lord, I just want to begin the process of receiving your discipline. In the name of Jesus. You know, in all of those areas, there's a breach. There's a judgment, usually, that you made on your parents, too. But praise God, God's going to get rid of them as you stay on the potter's wheel. It's His job to get rid of it. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I just forgive my forefathers for the dysfunction that's come down the generations. I forgive them for the lack of love, the lack of discipline, the correction. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. We break soul ties with mother and daddy and all of our forefathers. We just say that this lack of discipline goes no further in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for rebellion, an antichrist spirit, Jezebel, Ahab, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of fear, guilt, shame. Come out now in Jesus' name. Every lying spirit, and don't fold your arms because that's like a resisting. And fold your arms. Yes. When you fold your arms, it's like, no. So you don't want that. You want to get free, unless you don't want to get free. So in Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of Antichrist. In Jesus' name. I come against hopelessness and despair. I come against every lie that I'm just too bad and I'm not fixable. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of mental illness, insanity, bipolar. I come against, in Jesus' name, ADHD, ADD. I come against restlessness, hyperactivity. I come against every spirit that's taken away my peace. In Jesus' name, I speak peace over every cell of every person's body. In the name of Jesus, all the demons that came in through what they've confessed, demons that have come in through sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, come out now. All mental illness problems, come out now. Craziness, mind-binding spirits, come out. Spirits that hinder their understanding, their comprehension, I command the spirit of a fool out in Jesus' name. I break the power of foolishness, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits that keep them from the Word of God. All spirits that keep them from believing the Word of God. All spirits of unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I break the vows. I'll never be like my mother and my daddy. In Jesus' name. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of a spirit of mockery. Come out now. All spirits of blindness. The ravens of the valley from mocking the father and scorning the mother. Lord, I ask you to turn their spiritual lamps on in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of darkness has to come out. All spirits of anger itself, anger at parents, in Jesus' name, you have to go. All spirits of folly, come out now. Disobedience, rebellion, come out now. And all spirits that would reject discipline, come out. All spirits of hate discipline, all spirits of a renegade, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of dishonor and shame, come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirits that reject discipline, come out. Spirit of a scoffer, come out now in Jesus' name. Spirits that cause poverty and shame, come out now. All spirits that cause them to neglect discipline, all spirits that keep them from focusing on Jesus, in Jesus' name, come out now. All spirits that came in through straying from the words of knowledge, all spirits of stupidity, stupor, come out now. Confusion, come out now. Confounding, come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear, timidity, lack of self-control, come out. All spirits of torment, I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. All spirits of laziness, come out now. All spirits that would cause them to be unkept, sloppy, slovenliness. How do you say that? Unclean spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Illegitimacy, bastard spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Hopelessness, despair, death, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits that tell them that God doesn't love them, in Jesus' name, leave now. All spirits that hinder reproof, all spirits in Jesus' name, running from God, come out now. All spirits that cause them to run from God, spirits that cause them to feel despicable, disdain themselves, neglect themselves, have a poor opinion of themselves, self-punishment, all spirits that came in through the lack of affirmation, come out now. All spirits that cause them to be scattered, come out now in the name of Jesus. All spirits that hinder them from having the fear of God, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of ADHD, mental illness, mind-binding spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus. Spirits of sorcery, mind control, come out now. Confusion, come out now. All spirits of enabling, all spirits that keep parents from disciplining their children in love, all spirits of hatred, variance, strife, emulation, resentment, bitterness, come out now. All mental problems, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of grief, come out. Bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power of all spirits that hinder God's blessing. Spirits that keep them from waiting on the Lord in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit to go that would cause them to be cursed. They forgive their parents for cursing them. All spirits that are carrying out curses against them because of word curses spoken against them, come out. We break all word curses, all spells, hexes, vexes, charms, incantations in the name of Jesus. All spirits of uncooperation, spirits of resisting in Jesus' name, come out now. Spirits of resistance, in Jesus' name, I break your power. Unhappiness, sadness has to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of every spirit that came in that keeps them from having a graceful wreath around their head and ornaments about their neck. Leave now in Jesus' name. Go now in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. All spirits that cause a rebellion, the cruel messenger that's been sent against them, I command the cruel messenger to back off in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all game playing, all attention getting spirits have to go. Self-pity, you have to leave in Jesus' name. You have to go. Every spirit that tells them that it's no use to give up, quit, bail out, faint, all fainting spirits have to go now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all unrighteousness has to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all spirits that keep them from lining themselves up with the Word, in the name of Jesus, has to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break your power. In Jesus' name, I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every spirit that keeps them from buffeting their body and making it their slave, all spirits of slavery to their bodies, come out now. All spirits that cause them to be a slave to their bodies, come out. Gluttony, self-induction, alcoholism, drug addiction, psychiatric meds, in Jesus' name, murder, come out now. All spirits of murder, all spirits of homicide, murder, suicide, come out now in Jesus' name. All the spirits that came in through the effects of psychiatric medicine, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All spirits that cause them to lack prudence, come out now. A spirit of a fool, you come back. Come out now in Jesus' name. I break your part. I break your power. Foolishness, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of false compassion, all spirits that cause them to enable their children, all spirits that cause them to get in God's way of discipline in Jesus' name, all spirits that keep them from seeing that discipline is something that God uses to help their children, to bless their children in the name of Jesus. All spirits that came in through being provoked to anger because they weren't trained up in the way they should go, leave now in the name of Jesus. All spirits that would cause them to forsake God's way, leave now in Jesus' name. All spirits that keep them from experiencing the having understanding in the fountain of the life, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out of each person in Jesus' name. Stubbornness, rebellion, perverseness, come out now. Fit throwing, come out now in Jesus' name. Temper tantrums, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. The spirit of crying, all the spirits, all the demons that would cause them to cry and scream and throw a fit, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits that keep the parents from allowing such things, in Jesus' name, come out now in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. Self-indulgence, self-assertiveness, self-righteousness, come out. Self-justification, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of compromise, double-mindedness, come out now in Jesus' name. Break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all Antichrist spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All spirits of self-indulgence, all spirits of a slob, come out now. All spirits of laziness, come out now. Drug stupor, spirits of stupor, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. I break the lie that they're not worth anything. Every lie that tells them they're no good. When the King of Kings lives in them, they're worth what lives in them. Praise you, Jesus. All spirits of unforgiveness of self. Everybody, for I forgive myself in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I forgive my children. I forgive my parents. Bless the Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel released, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And we exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh Lord, we exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh Lord, bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Fill me up with yourself. In Jesus' name, fill me with your glory. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Cause me not to be worried about every breach I don't know about. Cause me not to worry about that. Cause me just to deal with the problem at hand so I can get free, and then you'll show me something else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it's your job to take the junk out of the clay. That's not my job. My job is just to yield. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And Lord, let us get a good night's sleep and feel like we've slept a million hours. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.